down here, we're going to fit in up there. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. What a blessing.
Anybody else got a song this morning?
Amen.
I'm ready to start leading anytime.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Woo!
That's
got to
be hard for her to sing that song. She's got a daddy
man
right up there.
Amen.
Right now. You know that?
Yeah. Amen, Brother Ed.
I want to thank the Lord for being here today. I really don't feel good this morning. My blood pressure is up quite a bit, so I've been really dizzy this morning. I like to feel this morning, so I'll just pray for
him. Amen, Sister Sharon.
This was my husband's favorite song, too.
Bless you. Good job. Good song. All right.
I'm going to turn that thing off a while.
Well, like that song, I don't tell it enough.
That's right.
And with the God we would do more of that. Appreciate Rita singing that song.
Yes, that's right.
Going to lead in the parade. The Bible says in the last verse of Hebrews chapter 11, God having provided some better thing for us. We ain't home yet. We may not lead the parade down here, but we will there, Jimmy. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm looking forward to getting there.
That's right.
When we get there, it'll be a whole lot better. Amen. It may not get better here, but it's going to get better there. Better make it. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm glad, praise God, we're going somewhere. First class. Yeah, and I, well, we was talking in Seneca this morning about going to have to drive to Bowling Green to get your license. Donnie said you could go to Columbia, and I said, I'll go to Columbia just out of spite. At least you can get in Columbia and get out like you're running over, amen. Bowling Green's getting a little too big for my britches, amen.
Amen.
Oh my, they're making it into a metro. I learned that in college. That's just to get more money, nothing else, just more money, more funds. But that don't make it better, amen. Holy, you can be open up your Bibles, Luke chapter 24. Before we preach this morning, my phone's been messed up all week. I don't know about y'all, but Monday, my phone went belly up. And I'm talking about I couldn't call nobody. Nobody called me. I couldn't text, nothing. And I went up there like every day for like 5 days. And finally, the fifth day, I decided I was going to run the gauntlet. They stopped me at the door. And you couldn't even get in the parking lot for 4 days. There's people parked all beside the road and everything else. That last day, Friday, I went up and he fixed my phone, and now I can receive calls, and I don't know, technology, I just wasn't in my field. I ain't quite learned much more about it than I know already, which ain't much neither. But some people didn't have trouble with it at all. And my wife was one of them. She just rubbed it in my face. I said, look, I couldn't get even in there to look at a phone. I was ready to do anything. But he did get my phone going, so sorry about my phone not working. And we changed December the 12th. We're going to go to Cracker Barrel instead of Shoney's. And I am looking forward to going to Cracker Barrel, if nothing else, for the cornbread. Hallelujah. I love the cornbread.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, I'm pretty fond of cornbread anyway. They got good cornbread there. First thing I want is a bowl of cornbread. Hallelujah. Y'all know they're going to have cornbread in heaven, don't you? Psalm 78, man, eat corn in heaven. That corn, that bread comes down as cornbread.
That's right.
Amen. Did you find your Bible, star?
I think you had it, right?
I put that in. I put it somewhere where I wouldn't lose it. It's in the kitchen, I think. Is that it?
Almost.
I doubt it, but we'll look. It might be it.
In the kitchen. Oh, you got it.
This might be it right here. I preached about keeping the faith, they lost on the way home. Romans 10:17 says, now faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But the guy that found it, he found it quick, and there wasn't no damage to it all. He said, be sure and put your name in it. Amen.
Amen.
Here's a nice Christian man. Luke chapter 24. We're going to read 40 verses. That's going to be quite a bit of reading. But it'll get some Bible in today, man, on a rainy day like today.
That's
right. Be good day to get some Bible under our belt. We're going to start Luke 24, verse 13. Well, it'd probably help if I was in Luke 24. I was in Luke 23. Luke 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them, talking about disciples, went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said, and this is our text verse here, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass during these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, how that the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all of this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen an angel, or seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. Which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, boy, this is holy ground right here.
Amen.
And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Boy, it's been a good place to be. Amen.
Amen.
And they drew nigh unto the village where they went. He made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward the evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. You know, that had to be a disappointing moment there. I mean, he's there and he's gone.
Yeah.
And now they said one to another, Brother Head, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? Woo! Here now, while he opened them to us the scriptures, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, how that he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Now here they are, they're getting a double whammy here. He shows up again. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they'd seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And just good fellowship here. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then open, this is really important here. Then opened he their understanding,
amen,
that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen.
Amen.
Now we're going to be preaching today on what manner of communication, but before we ask the Lord's blessing on this, a word came to me about Carol and Serenity are homesick. She's running a mild fever. I want to pray for them. I want to pray for Mark. I want to pray for Kay. They wanted to be here today too. Has anybody else got anybody else needs to be?
Danny.
Who?
Sue and Danny.
Sue and Danny?
Yeah.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the scriptures we've just read. Lord, how encouraging, Lord, your word is, Father. How needful, Lord, it is in the hour we're living in right now, Father. Lord, we just pray, God, Lord, for Carol and Serenity. Pray for Larry and Leroy. Pray, Father God, Lord, for Mark and Kay. Lord, pray, God, Lord, you'd minister, Lord, to their health and help them, Lord. We pray, Lord, Father, for Denny and Sue. Lord, probably others out there, Lord, that are, Lord, not here today because of sickness or not here today, Father, maybe other obligations. But we pray for all of them, Lord. Lord, you love the church, gave yourself for it. And Lord, we're part of that church. We're thankful to be part of it. We're thankful, Father, for those that are here today for the Word of God. Those that are listening today by way of the internet, by way of the Lord, by the way of the live streaming on Facebook. We're thankful for that, Lord. It allows this little church to lengthen its tent stakes, Lord. We get blessed watching this little church grow. We're thankful, Father, what we've seen, Lord, what we've been able, Lord, to enjoy, Lord, seeing this little church, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, my, seeing it grow, Father, in number, grow in size, grow in love, grow in knowledge. What a blessing, Father. Lord, bless this message today. Lord, help us to deliver it like you've given it to me. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord asked them there, you know, pretty much like, what are y'all talking about there in verse 17? And you know how we all like to talk. I mean, everybody that had phone trouble this week knows what I'm talking about liking to talk.
Amen.
I mean, your phone don't work. You ain't getting no calls. You know something bad wrong with you. I mean, even the scammers couldn't even call me, Brother Eric. I mean, I at least got 10 or 15 scam calls, you know, wanting to update my Medicare insurance and wanting to sell me something. You know, I didn't even get no spam calls. That was kind of enjoyable, to be honest with you, because just as soon as I got my phone working, it went for about 10 minutes. You received a message. There were so many messages went through, I couldn't even bring them up. But we all like to talk, and you'd think we'd be more ready to hear than to talk. I mean, I got two ears and one mouth. But for some reason or other, we'd rather talk than listen.
That's right.
Somebody said now, Brother Mitchell, that they're paying people just to listen.
Right.
Pretty good money, I reckon. I'm thinking about putting in for that, amen. I mean, I tell you, I'm going to listen a little bit anyway.
Right. Amen.
If you imagine getting paid just to listen to somebody, you know, just unloading, you know, like, I'm having a terrible day, and I don't know why all this is coming about. You know, people just want to kind of let go, you know. They just want somebody to listen, amen.
Amen.
Oh, my. But what manner of communication, Jesus said, has you in the way? He knew what they was talking about.
Right.
It's kind of like that woman got had that issue of blood. He said, who touched me? He knew who touched him.
That's right.
But anyway, you know, he's kind of digging around here a little bit. And these two here, they're walking, and as they're walking, they're talking. Man, when I was a young fellow in the sixth grade, I had a set of walkie-talkies, and boy, I had all kind of friends. Let me have one of them. Of course, we didn't know no. I mean, Breaker. And, we didn't know no. We just trying to have fun. We got those Breaker. Can you hear me now? And, we was kind of like one of them AT&T commercials, I was going out there. Can you hear me now? You hear about the static? You hear, part of what they say, whatever. We just literally thrilled to death. But everybody likes communication.
That's right.
And communication, it's very important. I'm not impressed by some of the communication that's got in somehow in our schools.
Right.
I'm not happy with this critical race theory being promoted in our schools. I'm not happy with this LGBTQ nonsense going on in our schools. I'm not happy with this gender confusion going on in our schools. That kind of communication we don't need, amen. That kind of communication needs to be. Somebody asked Reggie Sadler what he thought about rap music. He said, I think you need to wrap it up, throw it out the door. And that's what you need to do with this. Throw it out with the rest of the garbage.
That's
get
right.
It out of the classroom.
Right.
Teach these children some things they need in life. Let me just pull a lid off of this. The only way a homosexual can reproduce is in the minds of your children.
Yes.
That's
right.
About as clear as I can put it.
That's right.
Look, that ought not be going on in our schools, and we need to do something about that.
That kind
of communication needs to go. Amen.
Amen.
You can't mention the name Jesus in there, but you can mention anything else. Amen. Oh, my. Communication is important, and your life is short.
That's right.
Everybody probably got the kind of mind I got. You got all kind of things you're going to do. You're just not going to do them today.
That's right.
You're going to get around to it one of these days. I'm going to talk to my family about the Lord. Brother Ed, bless his heart, he was commenting on somebody singing this morning. I believe it's Sharon. I'm going to talk more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read more and all of that.
Amen.
We've all got that desire.
Yes.
We just don't have that, I don't know what you call it, urgency about doing it.
That's
and
right.
In the back of our mind, one day. But communication is important.
Yes.
Because the Lord said in Isaiah chapter 6, Sister Bonnie, He said, who will go? He only got one answer.
That's right.
And I think it was Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And God acted on that star. God said, go. And he took off going. Got to think about where he's going. Turned around and said, how long shall I go? That's a legitimate question. The answer was, till the land be desolate, the city be without inhabitants.
Right.
We need to get going with what God's saying.
Amen.
But without communication, you can't go. God, he bless his heart. In his job, he goes, into the dark and errors. And he's got a phone that's got GPS on it. Even though he can't spell it, he can use it. And it helps him find these people. He's at one house, and they say, hey, over here we moved. But they'll send him out, and most of the time, I don't know how he finds where he's delivering his medicines to. Because they're really not giving him correct, they haven't updated the information, not giving him correct instructions. But he still somehow finds him. Might take him all day long, but he'll find the baby.
Amen.
But you gotta be organized to have any communication to be able to be effective. They gotta tell him where to go before he can get to where he needs to go, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Communication's important. And like I said, our life is short. It ain't like we've got eternity. Matter of fact, I'm going tomorrow to make out a will.
Hmm. Like a viper here today.
Yeah.
James chapter 4 verse 14. We just got a little short time that we're here.
That's right.
And you know why I should have done had that will made?
Right.
When I die, what are they going to do?
That's right.
Nobody knows what my say. I'm gone going. It ain't like they call me up. Hey, where did you want this to go? What did you want me to do with this? What about this? No phone going to reach me.
That's right. Amen.
I'm doing what the sound waves won't reach. Amen.
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 I'll be having communication, just not down here.
That's right.
They forget about going and getting one of them, what they call them, Exodus, or go get one of them,
Suicide,
whatever, like Saul did, got that wicked end over so he could talk to Samuel. There won't be none of that.
That's right.
I'm telling you right now, I'm leaving, and leaving, Edmund, long way off.
Amen.
That's right.
How to reach the sound waves. How to reach some of this nonsense going on down there. But communication is important. Like I said, I'm going to get that will made tomorrow. Good Lord be willing. That's what James said. We ought to say the Lord be willing we'll do this or that.
Right.
Next verse it says, but I should have done had that done. That's why it's important. We don't have an eternity down here. There's some things that need to take priority. There's some things that need to be done now that somehow get put off that should have done been done. I've been aiming to paint my house for 5 years. I've been aiming to wash it for 3. And I'm right now thinking about putting a new roof on, but I've not done none of it, amen. I'm thinking the Lord's going to come and I ain't going to have to worry about it, amen.
That's right.
But communication's important. You know, when I get it done, my wife says, you get up there now and you do it. That's usually when I do it. She's a pretty good motivator. She said, I want it now. Communication is important. Our testimony is important. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it talks about Enoch leaving behind a testimony. He had communicated to the people in his day that he loved God, he walked with God, and was not God took him, but he left something behind that he had communication with God. And God took him home, amen. You know, God cast that devil out of that man in Mark chapter 5, yeah. And he told him to go tell his family. Go tell his friends what great things the Lord's done. You know, there ain't nobody can do that for you. You've got to do that yourself.
Do it yourself.
I might not be able to put in word, but I can tell you one thing, buddy. I got fixed 33 years ago. Next year I'll balance the books. Next year I'll be 34 years saved. And I was 34 years old when I got saved. I'm looking forward to that. That graduation day. That monumental day when the Lord saved a sinner deserved place in hell, and He spared me in mercy, saved me, and still keeping me to this day. Amen.
Right.
But we need to tell our family. We need to tell our friends. They need to hear it from you. Amen. Concerning your faith in Christ. We're salt. We're light. I don't think we're salt as we need to be, but we're still salt.
You're right.
I don't think we're as light as we need to be, but we're still light. I know things are getting dark and gray, but we're still light. We need to trim our wick, amen. We're either got healthy communication or we got unhealthy communication. There's some things that we just really be better off just leave alone.
Right.
I think about all the time I waste, Brother Mitchell. Waste on the internet. Waste sitting in front of TV with a remote.
Right.
I'm asleep, slobbering, running out of the corner of my mouth, wasting time. That's time that could be better spent. And that's what we need to be, good stewards of what time God's given us.
That's right, amen.
Carol, have you read any Bible since you got saved? What are you waiting on? See what I'm talking about? I mean, we need to hit the ground running. I'm serious. I read my Bible through before the end of the year. I got saved April 27, 1988. And I purposed in my heart I was going to read my Bible through before the end of that year.
Yeah.
It was knocked down dry. I got me and the devil. I'm talking about we had...
Amen.
There wasn't no tag team match either, buddy. I mean, it was hands on.
Amen.
I read that Bible through before the end of that year, 1988. I read it every year, all the way through for 17 years. Every year.
Yeah.
And on that 18th year, Mama passed away, and I'm back on track now. This is the first year I've read my Bible through since I did before Mom passed away. I'm planning on keeping it up. Amen. This will be my 18th time this year.
Bless
you, I continue to read my Bible, but not like I did those 17 years, and not like I'm doing this year. You see, Isaiah 34:16. Says, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. You fail to read that book, you'll find yourself failing a lot of things that you wouldn't fail in.
That's right.
Amen. There's no Bible no better. Amen. I mean, there's a lot of help in there.
Amen.
And I'm constantly needing help.
Yeah.
Somebody would say amen right there big time.
Yeah.
But you know what? Our help comes from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get the kind of help that you need on CNN News or Fox News or Newsmax or anything like that. You got to get the help from the Lord, amen.
Right.
The Bible said in Psalm 46 God's our refuge and strength, very present help in time of trouble. He'll help you if you'll let Him, amen.
Right.
But we need healthy communication. I'll expand on that more here in just a minute. But communication is important, and our communication needs to be censored. Boy, it got quiet quick, didn't it? I mean, my mama used to say this, Carolyn. She said, if you ain't got something good to say, then just keep your mouth shut. And she's not wrong in that statement, but every now and then, I do have to tell people some things that they need to hear because they ain't going to get nowhere.
Amen.
You're talking about my head, Duncan. At their work, while working, they knew, buddy, when I stopped, it's time to run. They knew it was fixing me. I mean, are you going to be blunt? And to a point, I mean, I didn't sugarcoat nothing. And I had a lot of conversation at work. I remember one time I had to put a man in his place right there in front of everybody. I didn't get no joy out of that. It's just he brought it on himself. I couldn't sit there and say nothing. He kind of said some things about the Lord that I wasn't going to take. I said, hey, buddy.
Right.
I said, you leave Jesus out of this conversation. You say whatever you want to about this guy over here. But don't bring Jesus into it. But our communication needs to be censored. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. It happens. I haven't been saved, I don't guess, 2 weeks, Brother Ed. I'm out there at the factory working.
Yeah.
And this piece of junk press I'm working on is the oldest one in the building. They put me there because I could fix anything there. And they knew it could. It was kind of like, you know, nobody else could do the job, so they put me down there. And it wasn't no joy either. But old Chuck Barbie, remember Chuck we had up here?
Yeah.
Chuck's here working with me. He's on my crew, and I'm working on this stupid press. It's a piece of junk. I'm beating on it with a hammer. And all of a sudden, but I got a little frustrated symbol, and I took the Lord's name in vain. I hit this pulley. And when I realized what I said, I dropped that hammer, and I fell to my, all my crew members. I got six or seven people working on me. I fell down on my knees right in front of them. I didn't care about them. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I said, please forgive me. Tell me never do that again. I expect them men to laugh at me, Bonnie. But those men didn't laugh. They had more respect for me after that day than ever before.
Yeah.
Most of them come talk to me about their own lives, about their own problems. A lot of them got saved. Some of them rededicated. I had one boy. He was an atheist. He'd been raised an atheist, but he still came to me, Simple. And he said, I want to be like you are. He said, I just can't. I said, yes, you can, Phil. I said, what
that's
you got to do? You got to tell the Lord you need some help.
Right.
Lord will help you.
Amen.
But you know, he'd been raised an atheist by his father. They were proud atheists. His father was way up in the company, a big, you know, kind of like a CEO. But he wasn't a CEO, but he was just right there in that neighborhood of prestige, you know, very high up in the leadership. And his son worked with me. And we had a very good relationship, but that really surprised me. He came to me and he said, I'd like to be like you are. You know, that's why we're here.
That's right.
We're actually His witnesses.
That's right.
We're actually, examples of believers in word and deed.
Right.
One of the things you got to be careful of, and it's not just taking the Lord's name in vain. I mean, you gotta let your speech be seasoned with grace.
Right.
I mean, don't be hateful.
No.
Don't be hard-headed. Be a little bit more forgiving and
right.
Give people, you know, at least the benefit of the doubt. Don't drop the whole load on them, amen.
Amen.
You know, sugarcoat it a little bit. Put a little truth in there, and if it has to be down to it, well, then you just gotta, you know, put them on the spot. I hate to. The Bible said, rebuke them and rebuke a wise man, he'll thank you for it. I mean, I've been rebuked myself. And, you know, I'm glad they did because I didn't even realize what I was doing, amen. But let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Have you ever heard the word hypocrite?
Yeah.
Well, it's not good when somebody attaches it to you.
That's right.
And a lot of people have it attached to them.
That's right.
Be real. Don't try to be something you're not, and if you're not, you can't be it anyway, so might as well just own up to it. But the Bible says also in Ephesians 4:25, put away lying, speak truth to every man. You know, one thing about a lie, they just keep, well, you can watch politicians see how it works, they just keep getting bigger and bigger. And they just keep going further and further, and then pretty soon they get caught in.
That's right.
And somebody got them on video where they said something. Let me give you a hint. There'll never be a mandate to take a vaccine. Then next thing you know, we got a mandate. The very one that said it never be is the one that put the mandate on there. Do the math. I'm just telling you. It's just a lot of things that end up being like a boomerang come back and hit you in the back of the head. It says, put away lying and speak truth to every man.
Yeah.
It says, put off that former conversation of the old man. Everybody knew how old Brother Eddie was. Now, Carol, I baptized you last Sunday. But when I got baptized at Brotherhood Free Will Baptist Church, Brother Rick Provitt and Brother George Chris took this old boy on the water, and they held me down for a good while. I was going to try and make the trip. But when they brought me up, there was a man in there that I'd worked with named Mark Bunch, pretty good sized boy. He made his way up there, and they just let me go, and I stepped down off the platform. He's standing there waiting on me. He said, I refuse to believe God could save someone like you. And I couldn't even argue with him. I mean, that old man.
Amen. Amen.
He's been saved now, several. Now he's got to start acting like
he's saved.
Amen. You know, people rather see, actually, you live a Christian life and you tell them you're Christian. They'd rather see that example that you set, that you know you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, right. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17. Those old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. And they're scratching their heads saying, what happened to you? I met Jesus.
Amen. I'm a new man.
Now, man, did he ever make a difference in me? That place out there where I worked with, it turned upside down, Jimmy. They was all trying to figure out how to work with Eddie Wade now. Well, no problem before. Well, here's what I'm talking about. I worked with a man. His name was... come on, Eddie. Click, click, click. He was a supervisor out there. I'll get his name here in just a second here. Just coming to my mind, the reason I can't remember his name. But anyway, he and I were a lot alike. I mean, we like to tell him, you know what I mean. Come on. Well, I remember the two guys in the room with us, Fred Bailey and Mike Compton. I'll remember this guy's name here in a minute. Anyway, almost said it. Tom Shawn. Thank you, Lord. Boy, that show just still got a little something up there.
Amen.
But we're in there making a color show for a job that we're running out there. What they do, they got this special room, got these special lights in it, and you lay these pages, these magazines out, and then they've got like things that they want you to use to go by to make the colors right. And they mark it up, a little less red, a little more red, a little less blue, a little more yellow, black, whatever. We use four colors to make any color that you see in a magazine made out of four colors. So anyway, I'm in there with Tom Shawn. Well, Tom Shawn wasn't in there. I was in there with Fred Bailey and my company, and here comes Tom Shawn in there, and we're trying to make a color show. Tom comes up to me, Jerry, and he says, did I ever tell you the one about, and you know how, I mean, I just got saved. You know, you don't want to hear it. You don't know what to do.
Amen.
So I start walking away from Tom, and he's following me. And these guys, they know what's going on, Brother Ed. They know, they say, this ought to be good.
Yeah.
So I'm walking away from Tom, and he won't stop, Bonnie. So I stopped him. I said, Tom, you knew me before I got saved. I said, Tom, I've been saved. And I said, if you wouldn't mind, I'd just soon not hear that. Well, them two boys, they horse-laughed me and run out of there. Left nobody but me and Tom in the room. Tom's rough. And I was rough. And Phyllis, you know what Tom said? I expect him to be sarcastic. He said, I'm so sorry, sir. I didn't know. I hope I haven't offended you. I said, no, Tom, you haven't offended me. I said, I just want you to know, I'm not that man no more.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get put in those positions
right. For
a reason. For your sake and for their sake. They need to hear it, and you need to stand for who you're living for.
That's right.
I mean, don't judge God's realm. Just say, hey, if you don't care, I just say not here that
right.
I'm saved. Don't do it in an unpolite way. Be polite. I told him, right. I said, Tom, I'm sorry. I said, boy, I got saved. You know me, I'd love to hurt that. I told you to go along with it.
I don't want to hear that no more. Our communication needs to be censored. Because if you don't censor your communication, you'll find yourself back in the same crowd that you was.
That's right.
Now, you know, Peter, he was trying to blend in after the Lord's crucified, or before the Lord got crucified, after the Lord had been arrested there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then he's down there warming his hands by the devil's fire, and everybody says, "You're one of his disciples." He said, "Man, I am not." Some girl said, "You're one of his." He said, "I am not." Somebody said, "Your speech bewrayeth thee." And he started cussing. And when he started cursing, finally, the Bible said he remembered the words of the Lord, and he started weeping. His eyes met Jesus' eyes.
Amen.
He went out and wept bitterly. And that will happen to you too. Remember this.
Right.
Jesus died for you.
Right.
Did you live for Him? Amen.
Amen.
I mean, is there not a cause? He went to the cross for me there.
That's right.
He took my place.
Amen.
And I at least, my reasonable service, just live for Him. That's not too much to ask for.
Right.
I mean, Barry, one day anyway's going to be gone. The world's going to say,
right.
Woo, boy. Well, he's gone, but hey, I'll tell you what, there'll be something that'll say, "You remember that boy shouted all the time? You remember that one preached up on the square up there?
Amen.
You remember that one that just wouldn't ever plan out? He wouldn't ever shut up?"
Bless him.
I'll leave some behind him.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, did somebody pick up the mantle and say, "I'm going with him"? Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our communication needs to be censored. I heard this story a long time ago. Sister Bonnie, about an old man that's a drunk. There's a big snow on the outside. Won't be long, we'll probably have some snow.
Right.
But he got up early in the morning and slipped out there to the barn where he had his whiskey. He's walking out there to that barn to get him a drink. Because he didn't want nobody to see him drinking. He didn't want nobody to know he's drinking. He just wanted to drink. Then he's walking this deep snow, Eric, and this crunch, crunch. And here's something. Turns around, look, there's a little bitty boy back there, and that little bitty boy's going. He said, "What are you doing, boy?" He said, "I'm walking in your footprints, Daddy."
Oh, no.
But his light came on Mitchell.
Yeah.
He went out there to that barn, he got that bottle of whiskey, and he threw it down, broke it. He said, "You ain't going to follow me this way."
That's right.
You see?
Amen.
Our communication needs to be censored.
Yeah.
If somebody watches.
Amen.
Somebody taking notes. You know, they took notes of them disciples.
Yeah.
If there's Christians, call them Christians in Antioch. Somebody's watching, buddy.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody wants you to make a mistake because they're under conviction. Don't make a mistake.
Right.
Stand 10 foot tall for Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Man, help us not to fail in this task.
Right.
Lord left us here for a reason.
Sure it is.
Says, not only let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but put away lying, speak truth with every man. Put off that former conversation of the old man. Those old things are supposed to be passed away. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus now. We don't need to be acting, we need to be real. Amen.
Amen.
Don't be one thing here and something else somewhere else.
Right.
It don't add up.
Be the same every day.
Amen, Brother Mitchell.
Amen.
Yeah, we don't need to be acting. We need to be real. Our communication needs to be conclusive. This is our last point here. You know, here's what that means about being conclusive. Is it Thanksgiving Day or Turkey Day coming up?
Yeah,
see what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
See, if we don't set the narrative where it needs to be, next thing you know, it's Turkey Day coming up.
That's right.
Psalms 92, verse 1. I was telling Donnie this yesterday. I read it and it really spoke to me. It said it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And for a child of God, we need to learn how to give thanks to the Lord.
Right.
And you know, Thanksgiving Day is just that. A day set aside to thank God for what you got. To get turkey, great.
Amen.
If you don't have turkey, still give thanks. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, it's Thanksgiving Day. Amen.
Amen.
God help us.
That's right.
To show people down here why we call it Thanksgiving Day.
Right.
Me and Brother Donnie eat last night at Harper's up there. the first gospel, we bowed our head and turned things. It got quiet in there.
Right.
People may not be used to seeing that, but they need to see it.
They need to see you giving thanks.
Amen.
Let our communication be conclusive.
Don't leave it up to chance. Let our light shine. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
You know, don't let the world drown or dominate your narratives. Let a conversation be as pertaining to the gospel of Christ. Paul said in Philippians 1, verse 27. You know, I pick up hitchhikers all the time. And they get in my truck. You know what they're going to hear, don't you? I mean, I used to go up to Sonora, pick up Flint. This one guy, he'd be dragging his suitcase, you know, and I'd pull the truck up there, he'd get in. And, of course, I got used to his line, you know, he had nothing to eat, needed some money. I always give him a $20 bill, but I'll tell you one thing, he earned it. From Buddy, I'm telling you, all the way from where I picked him up there at about Mumberville, KC, he heard the Word of God in great depth. He heard about the love of God. He heard what God done for an old sinner named Eddie Wade. He got so mad, Eric, and one day I pulled over. He opened the door and seen his man. He said, "That's all right, I'll get another ride."
That's true.
They ride with me.
They're
going to hear about Jesus.
That's right.
I just picked the guy up not too long ago. He had a motorcycle wheel and a motorcycle tire in his hand. His name was Gary. We talked about Jesus. You know what, Bonnie? He wanted to hear my testimony. Man, that's good. I'm glad to give it to him. I can tell, you know, he's interested in knowing about Jesus.
Bless him.
And you know what? Let our conversation be concerning Christ. Ask them, say, "Are you saved?" And if they say no, say, "What are you waiting on?"
Right.
Then they look at you like a calf looking at a new gate and say,
right,
"How long do you think you got?" I mean, put him on the spot.
That's right.
And you say, "Well, if he's going to die tomorrow, would you get saved today?"
Mm-hmm.
They say, "Yeah." Well, they say, "You might die today." That just really puts it right where it needs to be.
Amen.
The Bible talks about both not of tomorrow. It says the day is the day of salvation. Nowhere does it say tomorrow's day of salvation. It says yesterday's past. It says the day is the day of salvation.
That's right.
But, you know, just that works pretty good, man. I ask people, I say, "You saved?" If they say no, it's on.
Right.
I mean, it's on.
That's the way to do it.
The first thing I'm going to say, "What are you waiting on?"
Right.
They say, "Well, I don't know." I say, "Sound to me like you need to get with it then, man, because I tell you right now, you're going to die one day. I don't know where or how, but you're going to. It's more certain than not." But get that conversation pertaining to Christ. I pick them hitchhikers up. Hey, in the waiting room, the doctor's office. My wife's having surgery in bone game one time. I was trying to be nice, Jimmy. And I'm just sitting there reading my Bible. I wasn't saying nothing, nobody joined. And I hear people clearing their throats, you know. And finally somebody stood up and said, "I never." One girl said, "We had a church and what? They gave me the whole waiting room." I said, "Thank the Lord." All I'm doing is sitting there reading my Bible. I never said a thing. But you know what that guilty conscience was called?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that grunt clearing that throat like, you know, "I wish you wasn't in." That's why I'm supposed to be there.
That's
we're
right.
We're alive. We're salt. Hey,
amen.
That's why the Lord left us here. We're ambassadors. We represent the King of glory. Amen.
Wherever you go.
Amen. Even at Walmart. Amen. Hallelujah. Bible mentions about speaking the truth in love in Ephesians 4:15. Giving thanks always for all things unto God, Ephesians 5:20. We've got instructions in righteousness, 2 Timothy 3:16. Our communication needs to be conclusive.
Amen.
The Bible says God will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on Him, Isaiah 26:3. It says, speaking to yourselves. Nobody's oil still have communication. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart unto the Lord, Ephesians 5, verse 19.
Yeah.
I heard a song on the way to church this morning, and I have to admit, I teared up pretty good. I like spiritual songs. But this song says, "When I die, Don't cry for me, because I'm free," or something like that. I just knew song. Somebody got a little banjo picking. I turned up and heard that banjo picking.
Amen.
And there's some girl in the background singing the same thing he's singing, just like one step behind him. Mm-hmm. And I have to admit, it blessed me real good. I like this song. I can't sing a lick, but I like this song. I like people get up there, and I mean, they rear back and let her rip, Taylor Chip. Amen.
That's right.
Fix it over at Bethel. We sing by the letter, rear back and let her go. Amen. But I like good spiritual songs.
Amen.
There are songs that I get no joy to hear no more. I don't listen to Steppenwolf no more. I don't listen to Black Sabbath no more. Don't listen to Pink Floyd no more. Don't listen to none of that garbage no more. I remember piling all that up, burning it out there in the backyard. My daddy's standing there. He said, "Don't burn that. Let me sell it." I said, "No, you don't understand, Dad." I said, "I'm doing this.
Bless you.
To give God glory. I want him to know I'm done with this
Amen.
Stuff.
Amen.
Man, it made a good fire, too. Them records burned good. They did. I had them big old records. And had them, I don't know if he had CDs back then or not. It was pretty good way back. But anyway, howl all that up, burn it there, boy. I had me a hallelujah time. It may have been. It probably was. But, we'd be a whole lot better off to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, Ephesians 5:19. Let our communication be conclusive. That's all we want to hear. Amen.
That's right.
Somebody said they had a school play one time. This little black girl, she was trying to quote Psalms 23. She said, "The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want." They all laughed, but really, boy, that's true.
Uh-huh.
He's all I want.
Amen.
Hey, I want to hear somebody, "Woo!" I want to hear somebody say, "Glory!"
Right.
I think we do everything else on credit. Why not shout a little with me?
Amen.
Man, if we get to heaven, Jerry, I can only imagine.
Amen.
I mean, they probably can't even wear shoes up there. Probably jump them off your feet. You would probably just rump them out of them. Brother Ed, I'm just sick of that, buddy. We finally get there, and I mean, the reality of heaven has set in.
Yes,
and I feed my dog. He gets all excited.
Yeah.
Every now and then, I'll let it out. And that thing take off running. Start it flipping over in. I mean, just excited about getting free. We get to heaven, it'll be like it does. Man, oh, man. We'll be renewed like the
yesterday.
Man, we'll run that plane.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I can just see that. I mean, just so much territory, so much time.
Yeah.
I guess some of them are still running. I don't know.
Sure they are, man.
I'm going to be one of them when I get there.
Amen.
They're going to say, "Eric is one of the business."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Jesus said, "Who loved me the most?" He's been forgiven a bunch. He's been forgiven a little. Peter scratched his head.
Amen.
He said, "I suppose he's been forgiven a much." And Jesus said, "You answered right, buddy."
Yeah, that's right.
They'll know me, buddy, when I get to heaven just by the way I act. Yes, that's one of them.
Yeah.
And just barely made it. Joel said he's saved by the skin of his teeth, Bonnie. I'm okay with that.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm saved. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's right.
What manner of communication? The Lord just kind of walked up on them there and said, "What are y'all talking about?"
Yeah.
They didn't know it was him, but they still said, "We're just talking about some things going on concerning Jesus of Nazareth."
Amen.
He's having the right kind of conversation, and he just shows up. You know, when you're having the right kind of conversation, me and Donnie, we have a lot of conversation down. When we drive down there, hunt there, we talk all the way down about the Lord.
Yeah.
There's people go by our car and they say, "They either think we're crazy, they think we're gay." I mean, like two women. I mean, we're just praising God. Hey, we're doing this. You know, something like that. And you know what? We get blessed all the way down. All the way. One time we went down and we asked the Lord, said, "Lord, could you hold the rain back just a little while?"
Amen.
It never rained the whole time we was down there, and we come back and it started raining.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Let have that conversation.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for this message today, more of a pastoral type message. We thank you for it, Lord. We know it ourselves to be true.
Yes.
Lord, we need to have the right communication. Lord, in this day and hour we're living in, Father, with so much filth and things going on, being exploited. Lord, we just pray, God, Lord, you'd help us, Lord, to have more reservations about what we talk about what we, Lord, what we're excited about. I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord, to have the right right heart and the right spirit concerning, Lord, our walk with God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this message. Ask your blessings on it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand, please, and Brother Jerry, Sister Sharon, maybe a verse of invitation on him. You know, if you don't need to come forward, you don't have to come, but if you need to come, I'll be here. We'll pray together, amen. Raise your hand, I'll come to you. If you got a need, I'm here to help you, amen. I'm just a shepherd. 10 o'clock.
Number one.